You're listening to SBS News.
Australia's ageing population and the pandemic restrictions have combined to trigger a rise in the cases of the abuse, neglect and exploitation of older Australians and people with disabilities by someone they know. So says New South Wales Ageing and Disability Commissioner Robert Fitzgerald, who oversees the number of reports made to the Commission's hotline. He says there was a jump in the last financial year and is expecting another significant jump in cases this year.
During lockdown, the people that report abuse, the people that actually raise the concerns, aren't going into the family homes. The nurses, the disability support workers, the home care workers are not necessarily going into people's homes. And they're not seeing the signs of abuse or neglect that would otherwise happen. When the lockdown's finished, we saw a very substantial increase in the number of calls. We're less sure about what's happening this year because whilst we don't have a lockdown, many people are isolating. And so my expectation is that we will see an increase in the level of reports towards the middle of this year.
Australia's first national prevalence report on elder abuse, released 3 days before Christmas last year, showed the incidence is higher than estimates had previously indicated. The research by the Australian Institute of Family Studies shows 15% of older Australians, about 630,000 people, experienced a form of elder abuse in the 12 months prior to the survey being conducted between February and May 2020. Almost two-thirds of older people experiencing abuse didn't seek help. As Commissioner of Australia's longest-running public inquiry, the five-year Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, Mr. Fitzgerald became well acquainted with the mistreatment of children. What he discovered about elder abuse was also confronting.
The really important thing that I've discovered is this is all about family relationships that have gone wrong. And of course it manifests itself in psychological abuse, financial abuse, sometimes physical abuse as well. And that's a really big learning because it's quite different from the abuse in, say, aged care facilities or in residential services that we hear about over and over again.
In many cases, money is involved. One story reported to the hotline involved the alleged abuse of a trust fund's decisions by a mother on behalf of her son who has a disability. It was alleged she was reducing his access to support services against his wishes and despite her having no decision-making authority. Service providers were not consulting with him directly. As a result of an investigation and intervention by the Commission, that was addressed and the man is now in his own home where he's able to live with greater independence. Commissioner Fitzgerald says his role has wide-ranging powers to investigate, refer matters to police, or intervene in the appointment of guardians and financial managers.
But at the end of the day, the vast majority of our work is in fact trying to work with re-establishing right relationships, safe relationships within the family unit or the local community setting. At the end of the day, the older person is going to generally live in that same environment. And so we have to work with the family, work with their legal advisors, work with service providers to re-establish a safe environment. And that's the most important thing we do in order that the abuse not only stops, that in fact the person can start to thrive again.
He says financial elder abuse is the fastest growing category. The problem is being tackled by members of the Indigenous community in Western Australia's Kimberley region. A growing number of cases were being reported to the Kimberley Community Legal Services, who asked the Kimberley Birds Consulting Group to investigate. Founder of the organisation, Jaru woman Natasha Short, says the project took 6 months to complete and it found the incidence was widespread and in some cases at such a serious level that intervention was needed.
And what's actually happening is people are actually being assaulted, physically assaulted. So they're being treated in a violent manner and sometimes to escape, they're telling us they're actually going somewhere else and hiding out, hiding away from family. Elders were actually going and admitting themselves into short-stay accommodation centres to have a respite from the onslaught of people, you know, their family members asking them for money constantly.
She says there are multiple factors driving the abuse and stigma does not help.
Because we've got a high drug and alcohol issue in our community, those things are driving bad behaviour. We're talking about adults. that have issues in their own lives, which that requires them to then go and find money from somewhere else. And the most vulnerable person, the most easiest target, is that older person. They're also extremely generous-minded. So they're wanting to give to family members, but to the point where they now can't pay their own bills.
Tackling negative attitudes of older people, also known as ageism, and restoring relationships of respect became a central part of the communication campaign.
Everybody, we have to start moaning about old people and no more humbug like them.
Humbugging happening too much in our community everywhere. All that we need to help people ourselves to stop this from happening to all our old people.
Natasha Schultz's in-language animation videos help to convey the issue, using the term no more humbug to describe financial elder abuse.
We focus on financial elder abuse, and we call it the no more humbug because humbug is a local slang word meaning nuisance. We've used words that resonate and relate to the people of this community to say, look, do not financially humbug or harass older people for their money.
Ms. Schultz says while there needs to be a prevention strategy targeting socioeconomic disadvantage, unemployment and substance abuse, there is a need for much more resourcing from governments to stop cases from escalating.
So we really need to be able to create an awareness around this issue. You know, take it out of the shadows and basically put it on the table, bring it to the light. We need to make the time for staff to be trained appropriately. We need to invest in aged care facilities. We need to be empowering elders to know how to do some of these simpler jobs for themselves. If they can just be trained to know how to use an ATM and not rely on the 20-year-old to take the cash out of the ATM, simple things like that.
More than 14 months after the report's release, she says the recommendations are yet to be acted on. In 2019, Australia adopted its first four-year national plan to respond to the abuse of older Australians. The national prevalence study was one of the first short-term goals. Other goals include investigating the potential for a national online register of enduring powers of attorney, strengthening legislative safeguards at a state and federal level, and evaluating frontline support services across the country. Banks are also responding, with some having developed systems to detect instances of family violence involving finances. Some are now extending that scope to include financial elder abuse. Australian Banking Association Chief Executive Anna Bligh says bank boards and CEOs have become much more aware of their need to act, particularly following the 2017 Royal Commission into Banking and Financial Services.
So boards are taking a much more active role in this area. You'll find differences in different banks. The smaller the bank, then it's possible they don't have all the technology yet. There's a revolution happening there. There's always things they can do better, but I do think that some of those fundamentals about what are they being judged on, you know, KPIs that they get paid their bonuses on is, you know, how many complaints have gone to the external complaints mechanism.
Brendan French is from Australia's largest bank, the CBA. He says training to detect scams and financial elder abuse has been given to 15,000 frontline staff.
We can detect typing speed. The bank can detect how you move through the fields. You move through the fields on a form in a logical way. So these sort of behavioural biometric markers can be used to determine, is it you who's logged on? And we can tell perhaps on occasion if you're being coerced into this.
Mary Patetsos, chairperson of the Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia, says financial independence is vital for senior Australians from non-English speaking backgrounds living at home.
Many of our very senior older Australians are actually not only have low financial literacy, but actually have low literacy because they're post-war migrants and a whole bunch of things that occurred to them. And a lot of them, of course, are also suffering from a variety of mental impairment. I do want to recognise the challenges for us and enable older people to live the best life that they can, which actually means that they need access to their money in a safe and secure way. And we need their families to have the confidence to assist them safely so that they can stay home, which is where they want to be.
Anyone who experiences, witnesses or suspects elder abuse can call the National Elder Abuse phone line on 1800 Elder Help. That's 1800 353 374 for confidential information and support. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.